Nation. I'll eventually get us a better song going and whatnot, but you never know what you're going to get hit with, Doug, on copyright laws and everything. So I know I can use that damn song. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right.
Are you excited for this season? I mean, you should be. I think the Reds are going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. No matter what anybody else says, I'm really looking forward to this.
I'll go ahead and tell you right now, it's one of my preseason picks, and I'll go ahead and share it with you right now. I did a bunch of preseason baseball bets on the Hard Rock app here in Florida, and I took the Reds at plus 375 to win the division. Now, I know it's kind of a long shot, but I don't think it's as long as a shot as the numbers are. I'm kind of curious now. I'm going to pull it up right now and see what the actual number is today. I did this a few weeks ago, but I don't think it's as big a long shot as, I mean, for the value, I was willing to lay the plus 375 to me compared to at the time. I'm about to pull it up in a second so I can talk about it intelligently. At the time, here it is. The National League Central. Yeah, it's still there. The Cardinals are plus 165 and the Chicago Cubs plus 210 and the Reds are plus 375. So what that means in layman's terms for you folks, if you bet $100 on the Reds to win, you're going to win 375. So you're going to get 475 back because you'll get your initial 100 that you put in. I don't understand why we'll start there with the NL Central. I don't understand why the St. Louis Cardinals are heavy favorites to win the division. What say you?
I don't either. And the one thing about the Cardinals, I think it's just, how do I put it? It's just, they just are obsessed with the Cardinals being in first place. If you look at all the procrastinators and all the others, they want the Cardinals. And there's nothing about the Cardinals that would even tell you that they're going to finish in the top. I haven't finished in third if they're lucky.
So I'm going to share something on the screen here in a second. It's the PECOTA rankings, right?
Yeah.
And look, obviously these PECOTA rankings, they are usually underplayed, but this is about where Vegas has the win line today. But let me pull it up real quick. But I'll go ahead and tell you what it says for the Cardinals. The Cardinals has their win total at 84.6. So the over under on the books is about 84.5. I've seen an 83.5, and I've even seen an 85. But that's about where it's sitting. What I don't get on the whole play of this is, what did the Cardinals do that tells you or tells anybody? I know you didn't come up with the rankings. If you came up with the rankings, the over under for the Reds would be, 200 wins. but what is telling these people that the St. Louis Cardinals are that much improved that they should be the odds-on favorite, when the only thing I can tell that they did was look, Sonny Gray, I'm not going to downplay him, okay? Sonny Gray's a damn good pitcher. He's a veteran. He's a gamer. I like Sonny Gray. I've always liked Sonny Gray. He's from Nashville. That's not why I like him. I like his grit. I think he goes out and he makes – every day that he's available, you've got to punch his chance of winning. And I thought he pitched extremely well in the playoffs for the Twins last year. Mm-hmm. But I don't get where you can get away. Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen. I don't see where you can go ahead and say, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to go ahead and make the Cardinals – the odds-on favorite. If I was going to actually make a favorite for this division, it would be the Chicago Cubs. Now, yeah, with that being said, I didn't put money on the Cubs to win the division. I put money on the Reds. Main reason I did that is I couldn't turn down that plus 375, and I felt like last year, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're our Reds guy, but I felt like it was a young team that ran out of gas. And so now this is the second year of this Reds team. Now, obviously, they're not going to sneak up on anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to be a team that this is the second run through this. And I think they're going to be a little more prepared, the young guys. And they did bring in a couple of veterans. Speak on that.
Well, considering that with all the changes, like with Marte not going to be playing the first half of the season, bringing in Candelaro makes Nick Paul look like a genius.
Yeah, no doubt, right? Yeah, it's so speak on that. He's been suspended for PEDs, Marte, right?
Yep.
Was it 80 games, I believe?
Yeah, 80 games.
Okay. I thought it was his first. But, I mean, that's a chunk. I mean, we're talking about half the season, right?
Yep.
With that being said, I think the one good thing when you talk about the Reds, of all the teams that could absorb that blow, this is a team that could do it. And regardless what you think about their pitching staff, the Reds are going to score runs. And it, not to mention the fact they've got so many guys on their roster that have played dual roles in their career that – of any team in the National League that can absorb one of their stars or presumed stars for this year of getting knocked out for half the season, I think it's the Reds just because you can slide so many guys in and out of the lineup.
Exactly. I mean, they've already made moves to do that. I mean, one thing I thank God for is that fact that Steer last year switch to left field because we're desperate in the outfield anyway, and also keeping India and not having traded him, and with the injuries now he can just slide back into his second base spot with Steer in left field, probably Benson and Fairchild will probably platoon in center field, and well they'll probably with right field, they'll put Benson in right field. So they're not really missing anything with Candelaro at third and Carcion Strand at first. So we're not missing anything at all.
Yeah, that, and they were, and look, it's not like, okay, so for instance, if the Braves had lost Austin Riley, you know what you were going to get from Austin Riley, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what you were going to get from Marte. We've speculated and we've, you know, projected it out, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's enough of a track record for a guy like Riley that you're like, damn, we're going to miss this for this long, et cetera, et cetera. So I find it interesting that going into this season, once again, they're being projected, as you can see on your screen, they're being projected to be five games behind the St. Louis Cardinals. And look, I might end up with egg on my face, but I went all in on taking the Reds. And primarily it was because I didn't think that you were going to end up in a situation where the Cardinals pitching was going to live up to their WAR expectations. So if we talk about the Cardinals real quick, I mean, Kyle Gibson, come on. He's a journeyman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it worry you a little bit that Frankie Montas is the opening day starter for the Reds?
A little bit. I mean, looking at free training, he did all right. So if that's any indication, I think he'll fill his spot, but I'm just worried about injuries with him as the season progresses. How long will it be before he breaks down?
Yeah, so when you look at the starting rotation, and I know they haven't and they won't name it across the board until probably a few days into the season. That's how most managers do. They name their starter for opening day, and they're doing that in conjunction with MLB. This never used to be the case, but and what's happening is for people of MLB Network, sorry, it's been so long since I've had MLB Network, I couldn't think of the name. They're actually doing showcase shows about this. So they're in, you know, MLB's doing that with everything. So they had a show. I didn't catch it. Sometimes I'll catch it on replay on YouTube. But they had a show where they literally like unveiled all the starting pitchers for opening day. So with that being said, most of your teams are not going to really have their hand forced until it'll be a few days into the season. You'll know who your two, your three, your four, and your five. It's usually most teams haven't decided who their five is or the order of, you know, two, three, four, right? But you're looking at the Reds rotation, in theory, you're going to have Montas, Hunter Green. I'm a little surprised Hunter Green didn't get the ball for opening day, but
most Reds fans are.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just a belief that with Montas is like the senior guy on this team. And it's also, I think it's like a shot across the bow to Hunter Green to get his stuff together.
Okay. I mean, I can understand that. It looks like Nick Lodolo is on pace with a pretty good spring so far. Nick Martinez will get the nod in the rotation at some point at the very beginning. I don't think he's going to stay there. I think he's going to end up being more the long man in the rotation. But as far as what would you project the Reds' starting rotation for the foreseeable future to be?
Starting rotation, I would think it's going to be Montas, Hunter Green, Ashcraft. Probably for now, I would think Nick Martinez and Andrew Abbott.
Andrew Abbott, and then Lodolo eventually works his way back in. What about Brandon Williamson?
I don't think so right now because I think he's dealing with an injury at the moment.
Okay.
If we're going to see anything, it depends on what Abbott does in his starts. Because there's something wrong with Abbott right now. His spring training was not that good, and I think there's some concern.
Whew.
So,
by the way, you talk about someone who there's some concern. What about the Dodgers with Yamamoto?
Oh, what a fall down that was!
Hot coffee coming in on that one. You gave $325 million to this guy, and that's the first thing that he does out the gate.
I know. But at least it's back ended. At least his money's back ended. You don't owe him anything for 10 years.
No. Yamamoto's due now.
Oh, is he due?
Yeah. It was Shohei Ohtani who was.
Oh, it's Ohtani that did that money. I'm sorry.
Right. It was Shohei Ohtani that back ended his. And I'm starting to wonder more and more. I won't speculate too much. But I would. And we'll find out more as this thing unfolds with the Ohtani thing. But with the whole gambling thing with Ohtani's interpreter, it really starts to make me wonder why his entire contract was back-ended, right? So he's getting $2 million per for the next 10 years, and he's getting $680. Is it because he didn't trust himself? Something's going on. The whole thing stinks. Because if you think about it, and I didn't think of it in these terms at the time, but when the shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. of Kansas City signed his extension at $280 million, I think it was 10 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think technically the number was 283, but whatever it was. There was a financial guy that broke it down shortly after that, and I didn't think of it in these terms. Because he's getting his money up front and Ohtani's is getting pushed to the back. By the end of the Ohtani contract, the $283 million that will be made by Bobby Witt Jr. is expected to be worth 1.5 of what Shohei Ohtani will have made in that same time frame.
Right.
So in other words, his 283 is expected to be up around $1 billion in worth 20 years from now, whereas Ohtani isn't going to be, he's not getting any money on his investment, nothing. And I always thought that whole thing stunk and it was weird. And at first I thought, well, maybe he's just being smart about, hey, I'll have money for retirement, right? I don't need money right now. But now I'm starting to wonder, man, because that whole story stinks. For people who haven't followed it, the reporter for ESPN, I heard her on Buster Olney's podcast the other day. The short of it, here are the cliff notes. You don't have to go through the whole 45 minute of listening of it, to it. She said that she was about to, and forgive me, I don't recall her name, but she's a baseball reporter for ESPN. And she said they were about to drop the news about Ohtani, and that her story that she got from the interpreter and their people was that the money was owed by the interpreter to a bookie or a book. It's got to be a bookie, though. See, what doesn't make sense of the whole story is it's got, where any way you cut it, it's illegal gambling, right? Because they're in California. They spend a lot of time in Texas. Any way you look at it, they don't have legal sports books. And if you had a legal sports book that you're using, that's like a Hard Rock Bet in Florida, they ask for the money up front. You don't get a, hey man, I want to put $100,000 on the Celtics to cover the spread tonight. Okay, give me your $100,000. And if you win, so that's how the legal sports books work. For people who don't follow the gambling thing, that's how it works, right? So he's using an illegal book. But supposedly the money got wired in from Ohtani while the interpreter gave him the instructions on how to do it to pay his debts. Okay? And that was the story. Then right before the ESPN thing was article was going to drop, there was a closed-door meeting with the Dodgers players, the brass, et cetera, et cetera. Now the story is Ohtani didn't know anything about it, and the guy stole from him, and they fired him. None of that makes any sense. I don't know for sure what Ohtani's involvement in it is, but there's a lie somewhere, because either they were lying at the beginning or lying at the end, and I feel like if you're lying at the end, it's because you don't want Ohtani implicated with gambling.
I had one question with this. I wasn't sure. Is his interpreter, is he from Japan or is, yes, he an American?
Yeah, he's from Japan, and he's one of, it's the way it's been written by the young lady that was on Olney's podcast, they're besties. In fact, people talk about how he's closer to his interpreter, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, but he's closer to him than Ohtani is to Ohtani's wife. Now, I don't know how long Ohtani's been dating his wife before they got married, so that might have a lot to do with it, right? But
yeah.
But the point being, okay, this isn't like just some random guy. And I'll tell you one more thing that stinks in this whole thing. Why? They said that the interpreter gets paid between $3,000 to $5,000 a year by the LA Dodgers for his interpretation skills. What? $5,000? Good for him. Bet that money. Take Ohtani's money, baby. $5,000? That's not even, that's nowhere near the poverty line. Nowhere near it.
I'm just saying, with that kind of money to an interpreter, I'm wondering if this interpreter has some kind of connection back to Japan with organized crime.
Well, that's what's being speculated. And it may not just be in Japan. You trying to tell me there's not bookies in California? You know what I mean? So there's, or anywhere. He could be doing this anywhere. But the point is,
well, organized crime in Japan is in California too. So if he's going
but my point is, it could be anywhere. It could be in through discovery. I think we're going to find this out in the end. But now you got the feds involved, because the feds want to know who's betting $4.5 million and how are they doing it and who are they doing it to. Because the one thing that we do know about gambling in the United States, now that it's starting to become legal, the feds really care now, because they want you to bet your money with their books that they get the cut of. So anyways,
yep.
We'll move on from that, but I felt like that had to be laid out, because a lot of people don't understand like the whole timeline of it. I was talking to my wife last night. She doesn't really care that much about it, but she was curious, and I was laying it out. And even she's like looking at me, she goes, "Man, something stinks." I was like, "It stinks. It stinks real bad." Nobody's laying the blame on him, because he is a international superstar that has been growing the game. But best believe, if this was a run-of-the-mill, you know, if this was Spencer Steer, that dude would have already gotten taken away or suspended, right?
He'd be off the team already.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't be able to find him. Yep. He'd be Wander Franco'd right now. You know what I mean? And Wander Franco was a hell of a player. But he did the creepy. All right, back to Reds, National League, NL Central. Look, my feel about this whole thing, first of all, I'm with you. That Candelaria signing gets bigger and bigger every day. I'm excited to see.
I also think India, too, is getting bigger and bigger as well.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Christian Encarnacio Strand. I'm not as familiar with him. What do they call him to shorten that up in Reds country? Is it CEC or something, man? That's a lot.
Yeah, CES or something to that extent.
Sorry, CES. 24-year-old, and he played, 63 games last year, 13 home runs, 270. What I always look at nowadays is the OPS. Anything above 8, that's a dude. He had 805 last year. So, I mean, that's a dude. Now they have him listed as a first baseman, but he can play third.
Yeah. But he's definitely playing first. I mean, there's no question of that.
Right. But I'm saying, if there's an injury and you got Candelario who can play either one, or for whatever reason they want to flippity flop them, they can flippity flop them.
Yep.
Spencer Steer, I don't think he gets enough credit for being as good as he is, because he's a smaller guy, 5'11", 185. But, man, that kid can hit. And I listen to a lot of fantasy baseball podcasts, and maybe that's more the people that don't respect him. But that kid, 23 home runs, 820 OPS once again. I know they play in a hitter's park, whatever. That kid can hit. And it seems like someone's always trying to make it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's with a mid-season slump.
Yeah.
So imagine if he hadn't had that, kind of hit that wall last year, what his numbers would be like.
Well, let me tell you, all the podcasts that I listen to, not just on baseball, but fantasy baseball, almost every one of them tries to come up with a reason why he's not going to make it. And I don't get the hate on Spencer Steer. I think he's phenomenal. Either. He's fun to watch. The guy that I think may be odd man out when everybody's healthy and everybody's off suspension is Jonathan India. And I would have never thought that a few years ago. But he is sitting at a spot there where someone could take his role. I think he'll find a way to get enough at bats beginning of the season because of the 80 game suspension. But it may get dicey towards the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 2023, it wasn't a terrible year. 745 OPS. It wasn't like his rookie of the year where he was, you know, just phenomenal. But he's a guy that can, he's predominantly second baseman. You can slide him all over the infield. I love the fact that the Reds have built a team, and I don't think it's just through the draft. I think it's also development in the organization, where they've got all these parts that they can just slide in if there's an injury, or they just want to give a guy a day off. They can tell India to, hey, go on the left side of the infield. We're going to let someone else get some work at second base today. And he's not the only one. You got India, Spear, McClain can play all of the, and then of course, and what did they do in their off season? They went out and brought in a guy that can do the same thing in Candelario.
Mm-hmm.
So I,
the whole idea is just this, with this team is there's always a fresh team every day. Everybody's fresh every day. So,
my big question for you is, what are we getting out of in year two of the Ellie De La Cruz era? One of my favorite players to watch.
Right now, he's got his over and under for steals, and I think this is going to be a critical thing for him this year. At least 50, and I'm betting the over on that. If his heading percentage is good this year, I'm looking at him to steal 70 bases at least.
So he played 98 games last year and got 35 steals. Yeah, oh yeah. I can't remember. Did he get hurt or did he come up that late?
He came up kind of late, and then he went through a batting slump, so he wasn't getting on base.
Okay.
So it kind of crescendoed for a while.
I'm trying to.
Then he came back in September and had a good September. Oh,
he didn't come up till June. I thought he was up much earlier than that. Okay.
He was up in, I want to say he was up late May, early June.
Yeah, June 6th.
June 6th, okay.
And what I'm remembering is the series between the Reds and the Braves in Cincinnati. And I thought for some reason, I thought that happened in early May, but it was June 23rd. That Friday night game, I still say, was probably the best game I called all year. The Reds actually won the game. It's still probably the best game I called all year. That was a phenomenal game. That's one of those games, and you know I'm calling all these games every night, right? One, I think that one's always going to stick out to me. Like, there's a few games that, you know, some of them will run together. I don't remember, but I don't have the memory as great as a guy who hit 320, right, in his career. Because that guy hit 320 in his career, I guarantee you he hit 320 because the guy's got a freaking a damn mind like a trap, right? But that game is always going to – I will always remember that game. It was a phenomenal game in which it was back and forth seesaw affair. And for some reason, I thought that was in May, though, but it was in late June. So, okay, that makes sense.
The one thing I'll tell you with De La Cruz, that game, you're absolutely right. Because I remember talking to you about that game when it happened. But a little later on in the season, we played Milwaukee. And the thing I want everybody to remember about Cruz is in a series of plays, him stealing second, third, and home.
Yeah.
In three or four pitches?
I feel like he takes three strides and he's stolen the base. He's 6 foot five, 200 pounds is how they have him listed right now. And he seems taller than that. I swear when he takes off running, much like O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates, they just seem much taller than what they're listed at. I guess because they're so wiry and lanky and the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Long term.
And only thing ever about Cruz, people don't realize, as a baseball player, this kid is really is an infant. He hasn't even filled out his frame yet.
Oh, yeah. Was he 22? Yeah, he's 22.
I thought he just turned 21.
No, he's 22. He was born.
Or just turned 22.
Yeah, I got it in front of me. He's turned 22 back in January. But I mean, we're talking about, he's a baby. I mean, all in all, this is a young team. Okay, so real quick, before we get into your National League predictions, where do you have the Reds? How many wins, et cetera, et cetera?
I got the Reds winning 85 games this year. And winning the division.
85 gets it done?
Yep.
I hope you're right, man, because my wallet is definitely on top of that one.
Hey, my money's in there, too, so I hope I'm right, too.
Yeah, like I said, and I would think about throwing a little bit of hay on the Cubs at a 2-1 clip. I don't hate that. And I probably will at the end, but I won't throw much on it. I put a good little chunk on the Reds, so I'm all in on the Reds this year, man. I want to see that come home. I thought about getting their over-under on their win total. Their over-under, the win total is like around 82 right now on the Hard Rock. And I'm like, if they get over 82, they're probably winning the division. Screw it. Let's go for the division. And for folks who might think I'm nuts on this, that's about where the line was last year when I took Minnesota to win the AL Central and they came through with flying colors. I have more belief in the fact that Cincinnati is a little better than the projections. The Cardinals are nowhere near their projections. And the Cubs and the Reds will be the two fighting out. Milwaukee, the way I have it set up right now, if I'm predicting the Central, I'm going Reds, Cubs in a close one. St. Louis, I'll give them third. I'll concede third. I think Milwaukee's going to be selling at the deadline. I'm gonna do you one out of left field somewhere. Give me the Pirates to finish fourth and the Brewers to finish dead last. I think they're going to be sell. And I don't think Pittsburgh's at that point, right? I don't think they sign guys just to trade them. So how do you have the Central?
Like I said, I got the Reds, the Cubs in a shootout all season. The Cardinals in the middle. And I got Pittsburgh in fourth and Milwaukee last.
All right.
Milwaukee's a shell of itself.
Yeah.
So
they're just, it's just not, everything's going to have to go right for Milwaukee to compete. And if they're not competing, they're going to sell at the deadline. They've got pieces that they can sell at the deadline. Guys like Devin Williams, who will eventually get, he's being projected to not even get healthy till sometime in June. I think in a perfect world, they would love to have him healthy enough to trade him at the deadline at the end of July. Right. Real quick. NL East, who you got? Where are you going?
NL East. You know, I'm going with the Braves. There's nothing to change my mind. Your team is your team. It's still I still think it's the best team in baseball. There's nothing that's happened to them that make me change my mind on that one.
Philly second, right?
Yeah, you have to.
So then the question to me becomes, 3 through 5, how does it play out in the NL East in your head?
I think the Marlins will be in third, followed by the Mets. I don't know why some of these rankings have the Mets higher. I think the Marlins are a better team. And then the Nationals are in the basement.
I think one of the things, Miami really didn't do anything in the offseason. The Mets, they have added, but then again, they lost a lot, right? And that's another team that could be selling at the deadline. So I don't hate your picks. I'll do my picks for the NL East on our Braves show. But you know what's going to be a fun team to watch? I'm not projecting a boat ton of wins, but a fun team to watch is the Washington Nationals in that offense. They've got a lot of good young players. The biggest question is going to be the pitching, especially the bullpen. I mean, they didn't do anything. And that's usually the last thing you build when you're trying to build for a championship team. The last thing you worry about is the bullpen, because it's gotten so expensive nowadays. It's ridiculous. NL West, what you got?
You got your rivals in the Dodgers. I don't see them not winning the West. But look for the Diamondbacks to be competitive in second place. I think this year, surprisingly, I think the Giants are going to play better this season. So I've got them in third, fighting with the Padres for that third spot. And then with the Rockies in last, or in the basement.
I'll be surprised if the Rockies hit that 57 win projection from Pecota. They're going to be disastrous.
I've only got them winning 55 games.
Yeah, there's nothing about them that makes you go woo. And you think about what a disaster that Chris Bryant. Well, what was that? A 10-year? I know it was $180 million. I can't remember if it was exactly 10 years, but whatever it is, that thing has not aged well, and they're only 2 years into it. They're already sliding him over to first base.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, what was so appealing about Chris Bryant was that he could play third or outfield. They've already given up on that, and they're sending him to first base.
Yep.
So that's an absolute disaster. I'll tell you this. I'll give my full predictions on the Braves show, but I do have the Dodgers winning the division. Even with a lot of question marks that I have about their pitching staff, I just think they're gonna be too good. I've got the Reds winning the division. Two teams, if you're looking for the Pecota rankings, that I think the win total is drastically low. One in the National League is the Phillies. They're only projecting them for what? 85 wins. That seems extremely low. I don't think they're going to be enough to catch the Braves, but I do think it'll actually be a race this year. I don't think it's going to be the blowout that it was last year. And then the other one that, look, I keep going back to it, but man, 79 wins for the Reds to me is incredibly low.
That's why I've already bet that over on them.
And they're,
because they've been their winning projections in most years except for 21 or 22.
Now, so, right now, on the Pecota rankings, San Francisco is sitting at 85.5, as you can see on our screen. I want to check and see if they've made the adjustment yet on the I don't think they have. Regular season wins, San Francisco Giants. Let me see. Have they changed it? It's up to 83.5 now. I took it at 81.5. I took the over. Now, when I took it, it was before the Chapman or the Blake Snell signing. Snell probably won't be available for probably the first month, but I'm just looking at long term. That team, they're only a couple years removed from winning 106 games. And they don't do it conventionally. They don't have all the big stars, right? But there's something to be said for a team that does a great job of building a roster with a platoon system. And they went out and got a couple of good guns. I mean, look, that starting pitching is going to be ridiculous this year.
Yeah, it is.
And I do believe that bullpen is solid. It's not. Do I think it's the Braves' bullpen? No. Do I think it's the Yankees' bullpen? No. But it's not chop liver. It's not the Washington Nationals, right? So yeah. They're going to get wins. Like I said, I'll wait to do mine on the Braves show. But Reds, Phillies, and San Francisco Giants, I still think are still too low on your over-unders. All right, who are your wild card teams in the National League?
National League, let me see, will be the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Diamondbacks.
Okay. And the one, I'll wait to give mine at the Braves show, but the one thing I will say is this, the National League Central does not get a wild card. That's going to be the fallout from all this spending that's happened in the NL West. I do think the National League East gets two in, but I think it's going to be all or nothing to get in the NL Central. I don't think it's going to be like it has been the past couple of years was it last year, Milwaukee? Milwaukee was the only one that got in, right? In the Central? Yeah.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Yeah. But it was close down the stretch. The Cubs had a chance, and they absolutely spit the bit. Who ends up in your NLCS?
It will be the Braves. Believe it or not, Braves versus the I'm just looking for the Dodgers.
Okay.
I just want that lineup because I want you guys to go and humiliate them at the end.
Oh, I would love it while – Shohei Ohtani is sitting on suspension from. Hey, you know who I'm waiting to hear from, Doug? I want Pete Rose to go, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? Wait a minute. Huh? Huh? If we're going to overlook this.
I'm surprised they didn't try to secretly make up.
Yeah. If we're going to overlook this, me and Shoeless Joe need to be in the Hall of Fame. who is who's in your World Series? Who wins it?
World Series will be the Braves versus the Orioles.
Woo! That would be a fun one.
And the Braves win in six.
Man, I hope so. It's been a long time. It's been a whole three seasons. It's felt longer, though. I can't explain it. But when you have the best team in baseball the last 2 years and you spit the bit and there's no other word for it.
Well, I just figured the third time will be the charm.
Well, first of all, we won one. It's not like we didn't win one.
Oh, I know.
I'll go into much more detail on it, but I think the locker room is going to be different with the Braves this year. I think that's going to make the difference. Guys that they brought in, like Chris Sale, that has a bulldog mentality, I think that's going to make a difference. Now, obviously, you got to stay healthy. That's all part of luck. So, as Bobby Bowden famously always said, I'd rather be lucky than good. You got to stay healthy, but I'll make my predictions as well at that point. Who is your NL Cy Young winner?
NL Cy Young. You know, I'm going to go on a limb with the Dodgers. I'm going to give it to Glasnow.
I thought you were going to say Yamamoto. I was like, I don't know about that one, man. He's off to a rough start.
Yeah, if I hadn't watched that game, I would have said that, but not after that.
This is another one of my bets, and I'll drop them all on my bet show. It'll be a real quick show that we're going to do. If you're not a Braves club, a Braves Country Club member, you'll still get these on opening day. They're all come rushing out at once. You know, pass the word, become a member. It's only two. It's 10 cents a day to become a Braves Country Club member. You're going to get drops already. We have some works that are available to Braves Country Club members. They'll be available coming up on opening day. We got a poem written about Andrew Jones. We've got a thing called Lineup for Braves Country. And we've got another one called Opening Day that's not just Braves related. It's all baseball related. So my Cy Young Award winner, National League, man, Spencer Strider. I just feel like he's heading in that direction. And he's looked phenomenal this spring, so why not, right? Who's your NL MVP?
Your boy Acuña.
You think he wins it again? I hope
so.
He does, because assuming Ohtani doesn't get kicked out of baseball for whatever the hell is going on, when he becomes pitcher eligible next year again, it doesn't matter what he does. They're going to give it to him because they're going to want him to be the MVP winner of both leagues. So I've said this many times during the offseason. If you want to win the NL MVP, you better do it this year because they're going to give it to Ohtani next year. Now, I didn't know there was going to be a gambling scandal when I said all this. So maybe that's the caveat. What's your walk-off, sir? We got a jam.
The walk-off is just everybody bet the over on the Reds. And go Reds this coming season.
My walk-off for this one, since it is Reds Nation, the guy that I'm most – Ellie De La Cruz is a given, right? But the guy that I think is going to take the next step that's going to make everyone wow is my man Hunter Green. I really think Hunter Green – I think it's a disservice that he's not the starter on opening day. But, hey, maybe it'll motivate him. But Hunter Green – my biggest concern with the Reds in this offseason is the Frankie Montas signing. I'm not going to lie. But hopefully he gets back to his old ways. If he's Oakland Frankie, we're fine.
Yep.
But if he's Yankee Frankie, he's going to get spankied. Ah, how about that? All right, brother. We will see you next time. Reds Nation will be coming your way all during this baseball season.